Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Stardom Road podcast here on the Countout Podcast Network. I am your host, as always, Scott Edwards, and with me, as always, is my good friend and co-host, Trent Brewer. Trent, how are you on this fine day?
I'm confused, to be honest, because it's funny, like, whenever we're doing this podcast, like, we tend to take, like, a second, like, okay, we're going to focus, we're going to get into it, and, you know, not serious, but we're, like, kind of just locked in. And then that music hits, and it's very distracting because it's so upbeat, bubbly, and happy, and, like, right. I'm in the zone, and then that's kind of pulling me away, so I just want to dance and have a bit of fun, and I forget that, hey, I've got to focus here, I've got a podcast to do, I've got to be on my A game.
Yeah, it's a good song. It's really well done. It is. So I appreciate Ryan for getting that done for us.
It's far better than what this podcast actually deserves.
That's true. And it's like, it's a song that I feel like we should have a second one for when the topic is not as cheerful, but whatever.
Put it into a minor key or something.
Yeah, just darken it a little bit. So today... So today is our final episode of 2023. We've been at this for well over a year now. We started in October 2022. Time flies when you're having fun. I guess I think we only missed like one or two actual planned weeks, and even so, we usually come through the week after. So that gives us the perfect time to tell everyone that with this being the last episode of the year, we will be skipping the last week of December. We will tell you what episode we will be bringing you in the new year. I think that'll be a lot of fun, and it'll kind of come with a little extra something. A little
spice. The wait will be worth it
or not. I mean, depends on how you feel about us, really.
The wait will be worth it, Scott. Come on, we got to pump this thing up.
I know. So I will
the high key, not the minor key.
I will celebrate our year first here before we get into our topic. This podcast has been, as Ryan told me, the fastest growing podcast in Countout Podcast Network history. So that's pretty awesome. We appreciate everyone that's listening. As you and me expected, a lot of the newer viewers come in for the later episodes, and the newer episodes, you know, they start off slow, but they really rise as time goes on. And that was kind of the whole purpose of this podcast. It's very different from all the other Stardom or Joshi podcasts out there, mine included. And I think that's kind of exactly what we hoped for. So thank you to everyone that's been listening. Hopefully you've enjoyed the topics. Sooner rather than later, we're going to start asking for topics, like what do people want to see covered, because I think those immediate topics would be fun to hit. Thankfully, for the first year or so, we haven't had to really do that. We've been able to jump in and talk about pretty much anything and everything that is Stardom related, but we have so many other topics to get to. We haven't touched any of the Threedom, really. We haven't touched a full Kagetsu series. There's a lot of fun coming down the pipeline. So thank you for listening to everything we've done so far and making 2023 a complete success for the Stardom Road podcast.
Yeah, look, you know, part of the thing why we want to maybe send it out to you guys as well, because, yeah, we have a pretty big list of episodes we can do, but we don't want to necessarily blow through all the big ones straight away. You know, you gotta keep you waiting, keep you hungry for more. But in saying that, like, if there are topics in particular that you guys want to hear about, we want to know that, because we also want to be giving you stuff and information that you want to hear. If there's a particular wrestler you've heard about, you're like, I want to hear more about them. If there's title reigns, we haven't really done specific title reigns.
No.
And I think that's a topic that will be very interesting to get back into during 2024. And I think one of those title reigns that will absolutely be at the top of the list is one we're going to see discussed later today in one of the matches that we're talking about. So, yeah, let us know what you want to see, because we've been having a lot of fun this year and a bit, sort of covering Stardom Road, looking at its history. Yeah, both of us like that it is an evergreen podcast. You can jump in at pretty much any time. We don't make them too timely, and yeah, it is weird compared to some podcasts where you've got to have everything locked in and ready to go, and it kind of has a short shelf life. This one, yeah, you can sit on it a bit, and you know, maybe if you're going for a long train ride or car ride or plane, boat, bicycle, scooter, you can download several episodes and just sit back and, you know, listen to us yap for hours on end.
Yeah, if you're someone that like listens to up-to-date podcasts and then you run out, I think that our podcast really does actually come in perfectly there. Especially if you want to watch the matches or something, you know, we come through later, so it gives you kind of time. I'll never ask anyone to just listen to this ASAP, but just, you know, give us a chance. I think we do a pretty good job at giving a broader look. You know, we don't go into like the tiny little details always, just depends on the topic, but we again appreciate everything so far this year and into next year. That's why we're gonna have a fun little start to next year. But let's close out the year strong, shall we? We have Jungle Kiona Part 2 here today. We are going to go through four of her best matches. Not necessarily the best. I know people might want to like fight me on that. She has some great matches in her career, but we picked out four that kind of highlight every bit of her run in Stardom. You know, early singles, early tag, and then towards the end, her best singles and tags, really kind of the run that she's most popular for, which of course is being a part of Tokyo Cyber Squad. It'll be a lot of fun. I think my favorite part of doing this show is like when I actually do sit down to watch the matches and whatnot. Sometimes like the idea of it, sometimes I'll admit this, can be like a hassle, because you're like, I have to go out of my way to do this. But once I sit down and watch it, I'm like, I'm just totally invested. And I'll kind of dive into that later, especially on one of the matches, which I just felt like I went into a time machine. But, you know, this is Trent's topic, so I'm going to stop talking and kind of hand it over to him from here on out.
Well, you say that, but, like, I think one of the beauties of this kind of thing is, sure, Jungle Kiona is kind of my go-to wrestler of the two of us. She's more a Trent wrestler than a Scott wrestler. But it's kind of fun hearing the two different sides, coming from someone who's a big Jungle Kiona fan versus someone who appreciates her but, you know, doesn't necessarily have her on the top 10 list of all-time Stardom, although maybe after watching these four matches she might be trying to sneak in there. But yeah, look, we had four matches. If you were following along Scott's Twitter just before this episode's gone live, you might have seen his in the minute reactions to some of these matches, as he likes to do. It's one of the good things about following Scott. One of the many good things I will say about following Scott is that whenever we're prepping a Stardom Road podcast and we're doing matches from a certain wrestler or a certain event, you can see him following along. And like, if you haven't been following exactly like fortnight to fortnight, you see him start posting a bunch of old matches, you'll be like, okay, I think I know there's a topic coming along here.
Yeah, it's fun.
As someone on the outside, it's fun.
Yeah, it's fun to give like these little teasers or something. I just called them homework this time around. And then I broke out into like amazement over someone that wasn't about the topic. But that's
you're good at the social media game. You hype things up and you're previewing things. I just stay silent until an episode comes out.
Hey,
like, here it is.
Hey, we all have important roles on this podcast. You're the one that needs to like be insightful. I'm the one that just be like, yeah, this kicked ass. Like that's what we do. I love watching old starter matches because I think there's an underappreciation still for older stardom since it's gotten popular. And I just remember like this is why I'm here. This is like watching back through these originally. I think I saw all of these matches prior. So it was like just kind of going down a rabbit hole again, which was a lot of fun. But yeah, I'm excited to get into this. I'm excited to talk about Jungle's best matches because you really do see the evolution of her work. And I think it's pretty cool too because we did the Utami big rookie stuff before this. And of course, that was a key part of this story that we saw kind of unfold today as well.
Yeah, like it wasn't intentional linking together, but it kind of works out quite well. Because if you've been following along chronologically, podcast-wise, you got the Utami episode, so you saw her debut match against Jungle Kiona, and then we've got a match that comes through pretty much nearly at the one-year mark of her career, and it's following that story that got set. But before we get to the last match on our list, which is that one, we're going to start with the first match on our list, and we're going chronologically because it kind of makes sense to follow Jungle's path. You go from the beginning of it. And the first match that we're covering is from February 23, 2017, Jungle Kiona challenging Kairi Hojo for the Wonder of Stardom Championship in Kurikan Hall. The only match of these four which is not taking place in Nagoya, because if there is a Jungle match that's worth watching, it's almost always in Nagoya. But this one, to me, it's kind of the first big step for Jungle. Like, she's been around for a little over a year and a half at this point. Like, she's had enough time to establish herself, but she's not at the level that she would be getting to in 2019 and the end of 2018. And this match, to me, very much serves as a proving ground match for her. You know, she's in here with Kairi Hojo a few months before Kairi's leaving the company. It's kind of like, okay, we know Io Shirai has kind of got one foot out the door at this stage too. Stardom are looking for people that they can move up into that main event scene. And this is kind of a chance for Jungle Kiona to prove herself in the lead up to this match and kind of establishing it. That's also kind of the vibe that this match gives. You know, Jungle Kiona is generally a bit more on the fun side, the crazy side, but she starts to take things a bit more seriously in a trios match where she's teaming with Hiroyu Matsumoto and Konami. She ends up getting the win over the team of Kairi Hojo, Yoko Bita, and Hiromi Momura. And after that match, Kiona basically talks to Kairi and says, you know, you're an inspiration to me. Thank you for everything you've done. But she wants to challenge Kairi for that title. Yeah. Before Kairi gets out of here, she wants to take the title from her. And what I really like is Kairi, you know, obviously accepts the challenge, but does so in, the only way I can describe it is Kurt Angle TNA style, where instead of saying, yes, thank you for the challenge, I accept your, you know, offer there, she just headbutts Jungle. And that's her way of saying, yes, I'm down here, but you have to step up and prove yourself. And that's how we get this match here. Jungle Kiona versus Kairi Hojo, Wonder of Stardom Championship. This isn't the pinnacle of Jungle Kiona, but I think this is a very good starting off point to see, A, why she got popular so early, B, why she was highly touted so early, and C, just kind of see where she's at a year and a half time. So when you get to the 2019 matches, you get a great contrast of this up-and-coming wrestler to someone who's more mature, got that veteran skill and knowledge, and is just doing everything a little crisper, a little harder, and a little stronger.
I think it's incredible where she was at this point in her career, right? Because we're in a stardom world now where these opportunities don't come for a few years for a lot of younger wrestlers, but they had really no choice back then. And you could see her kind of grow throughout the match against someone, you know, at the level of Kairi, which isn't easy. One of my other big takeaways from this before we kind of just dive more into the match was how good Kairi was.
Like I
understand why people were kind of upset with her return run, because like she's a very different wrestler I still think she was great. Had some great.
I think matches. She had to be though. Like she was coming in a completely different setup here. Yeah. She's not the underdog baby face in 2017, but she's the baby face that kind of she's proven herself, and now it's kind of about not keeping the spot, but it's the proving ground, which is what this match serves. And when she comes in 2022 and stuff, she's traveled the world. She's got the WWE aura about her, and it becomes final boss energy as opposed to lovable.
She baby. Hit as hard as she did at all times, like she did in this match.
the spinning back fists. I love that her rule is if I don't hit it right the first time. We're not just going to work. We're not going to work around it. I'm just going to make sure the second lands, because we see the first one with a little bit. It kind of bounces off the shoulder, and Jungle. You can tell she's kind of like, I know I shouldn't sell this, but like it's the veteran, it's the senpai kind of thing. And before she decides what she needs to do, Kari's like, well, here's one for you to sell.
Here's what you need to do. Knocks the lights up. This match is a great. This match. I don't know if I will, if you go through Jungle's career, maybe some other people will pick something else. But I think this is like the first true, like really good to great performance for her. You know, she's in this babyface role, obviously underdog role, especially, which is kind of her specialty, despite being a power wrestler, which I think is such a difficult attribute that she has in her run here. And the match with Kairi, she just keeps fighting back. It is a proving ground match, but it's a match where not only did she prove herself, but she fought till the very end. She showed she might be able to pull off one of, if not the biggest upsets in Stardom history at the time. Obviously, like you're watching and you're like, oh, there's no chance for, this Jungle to beat Kairi. But I think that's the beauty of who she was as a worker so early in her career, is that she made you believe. And that's obviously what made her such a fan favorite for years and years afterward.
And I think it's a testament to her work as a character, especially like this is a match where it's in Tokyo, so it's essentially neutral ground, but Kairi's established fan favorite. She's in many cases more popular amongst fans than Io and Mayu, even though she's kind of more positioned as the number two behind
and third Io. Best of threedom, but
I wasn't going to say that out loud, but
Mayu. I'll say it out loud. It's fine.
But especially at this time, Kairi is as about as popular as you can get in Stardom. Jungle Kyona is the one getting the fan support, especially in the second half of this match. It starts off pretty even. I think there's kind of that two-way respect, but the crowd starts to believe and starts to want to see the upset win. And, you hear the Kyona chants, they're getting more behind the pinfall attempts, sort of begging for her to, get the shoulder up and stuff. And I think that's a massive achievement because this isn't a classic face versus a heel situation. It's the mentor versus the trainee in a lot of ways. And the trainee often will get that underdog favoritism there, but to outright get the cheers over the pure established baby face, you don't always see that in Japan, especially like when you Kairi, you look at for an example that I think of is Hiroshi Tanahashi versus Juice Robinson and Kuroken Hall from one of the G1s a couple of years ago. They wanted to get Juice Robinson the cheers. The crowd weren't buying into it, despite the fact Juice is the classic underdog baby face in that situation. Here we see a similar setup, but the crowd gets behind Jungle because she just nails everything she needs to. Kairi plays her role well, but if Jungle isn't giving the crowd something to get behind, they're not going to cheer her.
I think there is, kind of this odd ability that comes with such a hard hitter like Kairi that you almost need to cheer for the other person if they're a babyface. Because I think back to just certain matches, because you compare it to Tanahashi and Juice. I think there are cases where you see a wrestler and obviously we know who the babyface is going in, they're the more popular wrestler, but the underdog's just able to take so much punishment. And this is kind of a Joshi thing more than anything else. Take so much punishment and keep fighting back, keep fighting back. It reminded me of a lot of Shuri matches where I think Shuri's really good at getting people behind others. Which is not an easy thing because obviously people want to cheer for Shuri and whatnot. And it's why I look at Jungle and Micah as similar wrestlers, because of the power game, because of the fans they've created through their, you know, fighting back and whatnot. And it's like perfectly timed to do this Jungle stuff because of how popular Micah has gotten, and where she's, you know, heading towards at the end of the year here. And with the final match, of course, or not the final match, but the match here, I just think it's incredible because you could feel it tilt throughout the match. And I think if you could feel that crowd tilt throughout a match, it just makes it all the better. Like, on the surface, this is a very basic, like, top star versus mid, you know, rookie-ish or newer talent.
Yeah, but someone rising through the ranks.
Yeah, yeah. And you really feel that. You really feel that. And it's just, again, a credit to what Jungle's able to do, fighting from underneath. A trait that not a lot of wrestlers are all good at, by the way. Like, wrestling from underneath or wrestling from on top, like, those are very different. And I think if you're able to wrestle from underneath, it's what makes your chase, what makes your matches like many of Jungle's so good, right? If she was wrestling on top, like, as this big power wrestler, maybe that would have worked, but I just don't know if that connects as much as what she did. And it all starts back at this match against Kairi and really carries her to the best matches of her career, which we'll talk about later on.
She has the capability of being the big domineering bruiser, if you put her in that role, you're arguably taking away her strongest asset, which isn't the power game, which isn't necessarily the strength. To me, it's her ability to sell the pain and sell the emotion. You know, it's one thing I really appreciate re-watching these matches, and because I know the matches, I've seen them before, like, I'm watching them to sort of talk about them here, but I can afford to pay attention to the little things a bit more because I don't need to follow the base match structure. And in this sort of match particularly, I was able to really hone in on, okay, what's Jungle Kiona, like, facial reactions here? How's she selling that? And all the little moments in this match, whether she's starting to get on top, she's fighting from underneath, she's been knocked down, she's struggling to get up. She does such a perfect job in emoting these feelings and doing it in a way, like, in the middle ground in selling from making it believable, making it visible to the people in the back row, but not overdoing it and hamming it up. Mm-hmm. That's a very tight line to walk. Now, the good thing is Currican Hall is designed in such a way that the person in the back rows can still see pretty well. We're not talking Tokyo Dome or like a big stadium arena, but you've still got to get that emotion up to the people in the cheap seats while still making it believable to the people in the front row. And Jungle, I think, is, yeah, someone that I would recommend watching in these circumstances, watching those facials, if you're looking to learn what works in this kind of setting, because she absolutely nails it consistently.
Yeah, she is a not an overly complicated wrestler. Like her
no overall, wonderful fan.
Her overall moveset's simple. Her overall the reason people love her, it makes all the sense in the world, right? It's just so easy to understand why Jungle Kiona works, I think.
Yeah.
And overall, I just think when she moves forward in her career from this point, you only see her get better and better through the tag matches and through the big singles matches. And that's what you want. You wanted this match to be the proving ground to build off of. I think so many times when you get these proving ground matches, we almost focus way too much on the match itself. And it's, what did that match do for the wrestler? And for her, it's very apparent.
yeah, this is the perfect jumping off point. It kind of feels like they went back after this match and was like, okay, yeah, you've almost passed the test. So now we can start putting you in the bigger situations. And as we mentioned a fortnight ago, this was kind of the jumping off point. From here, she'd then have another match, which we're going to be talking about, which was the tag titles. She'd be thrust into other title matches for titles that were sort of outside of the Stardom world or kind of circulating. The SWA title is another one she challenged for not long around this time. The Trios title, she'd start get more important situations, start being treated as a bigger deal. And it's literally the step from up-and-coming mid-carder young wrestler to landing in that upper mid-card role. You are given responsibilities. You're expected to consistently deliver these kind of matches. Okay. You've done it once. You've done it against someone like Kairi. Mm-hmm. Can you do it night in, night out? Can you do it on a rainy Tuesday in Stoke, as they like to say?
And these, and you know, Kairi and Jungle, obviously, they have a great relationship post this. It starts before this because they're all around each other. But I'm sure this match helped a lot. Kairi was there for Jungle's, final match as of this recording. And it's kind of cool to just go back and see that. And, the wars they went through, the thing that they talk about with wrestling. And that was a war. And in many ways, it probably proved to Kairi, okay, this is starting to be okay when I'm
leaving. I'm leaving in good hands.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, she knew about certain people, but Jungle was one of the keys of helping build that mid-tier and up. This was a great match.
Yeah, you're right in the sense that it shows the connection they had, is the fact that she showed up for that final match at Nomads. That was the first appearance outside of the Stardom rings in that initial comeback. Obviously she came back and did Fortune Dream and AJPW, Sarism, but that Nomad show where she appeared, that was out of nowhere. No one was expecting it in that audience, and I can attest to that because I was in the audience and everyone was like, wait, what? And if you want any further proof of their connection, Kairi would later on design gear for Jungle Kiana to wear. And not that we see it in these four matches, but the match against Momo Watanabe, that kind of red and yellow gear was kind of the sequel to the green and white gear, which is what Kairi designed for her. So that's, she was able to keep that little connection going on even after Kairi had left. And you can't help but wonder and sort of look back on it, if Kairi had stayed in Stardom, how that sort of relationship would have blossomed. Would Kiana have come under Kairi and kind of been the second? And would they have had tag runs together kind of thing? But obviously it turned out pretty okay for both of them.
I would argue yes. Yes.
So after this match, it kind of works out really nicely because in the post-match of this, they set up the next match that we're talking about. So Kairi kind of congratulates Kiana for fighting hard, showing the strength, showing the emotion. And Hiroyu Matsumoto comes out. Who is criminally underrated, and I think Scott and I both agree is someone that, for people who weren't following Joshi around this time, not just Stardom, Hiroyu Matsumoto is someone you need to go back and watch because she is something else. She's her own beast. She comes out, gives Kairi support, and it sets up the tag title match that we are now following in. The date for this one, if you haven't watched it yet, you need to go back and watch on Stardom World, is on March 5th, 2017. This is in Nagoya. Jungle Kiana couldn't bring the white belt to Nagoya, but now the question is, can she win the title in her hometown? Spoiler, she does.
Yeah, this tag match is, I said it last week, it was one of, if not my favorite, Jungle Kiana matches. And it's just so well built, right? Hiroyo and Jungle just worked so well together. And you could see a lot of what Jungle takes from Hiroyo Matsumoto in, her following years as a wrestler. I just think, when it comes to tag team wrestling, and we still see it in Stardom now, obviously the titles are different, but, they've been flipping flopping in 2023. But, and that's a long term thing. With these titles, it's not like something new, but we see that these titles are breakout moments, and this is a breakout moment for Jungle Kiana with Hiroyo Matsumoto by her side against Kairi and Yoko. She's fighting two people that our Wonder Stardom champion, you know, that doesn't just happen, right? Like, no. And she's not only living up to them, she's almost leading the match with her own story. And that's why, you know, it's in Nagoya, so you kind of have to do that. It's her thing. And I think that's such a respect to where she is in her career at this time.
Yeah, it literally in the span of, not even a month, it's only really a week or two after the initial match, it feels like Jungle Kyun has gone from way underneath Kairi, doing everything she can just to keep up, to fighting her on level pegging. And you see that in the way this match unfolds, as it is very much a back and forth. And yes, Jungle ends up having to fight from underneath, but it feels like she's proven herself at that level. She passed the test in February, and now she's just fighting as an equal, fighting as a colleague. And the result is, to this day, I think you can still call it one of the best tag matches Stardom have ever had. At the time, it was pretty much the standard bearer, and I think it still holds up. And yeah, some of the matches around this time, especially outside of your big like Io Mayu, Io Kairi, that kind of stuff, you can tell they're a little bit of a product of their age. They're still fantastic. They deserve all the praise they get, but they are a little bit rawer, a little bit less refined in certain areas. In comparison to maybe a 2023 match where everyone's maybe trained a little bit better, conditioned a little bit better. But you could take this match and transport it to 2023 and it would feel completely at home. It's hitting all the same marks. The quality of the wrestling is on par. And look, it helps that this Nagoya crowd is absolutely fired up. And if you ever need proof of the value of a crowd, you watch a match like this and just hear how that crowd gets behind it, and there's that constant roar and rumble in the second half. And like the final sequence of this match goes for quite a while. And to keep that momentum going, to keep that crowd sort of amped up throughout that entire finishing sequence, is not easy to do when it's stretched out as long as it is. But the crowd are with it, they're following along, and they're just desperate to see the result that they want to see.
Yeah, as I like to do with a lot of like, for the people listening, I like to try to bring up to date, you know, something comparable to this. And I think the best is Mayhime against 7-Up. That was the first thing I thought of when watching this match. You know, just that crowd reaction of wanting their pick to get the win no matter what. And just a killer closing sequence where you don't want to lose hope. And obviously they went different ways in terms of who was getting cheered for, but that's the first thing I thought about watching this. I was like, this is that, right? Like we see, I think if you go back in Stardom history and you watch like a lot of the tag title matches, you can make a lot of comparisons to certain reigns and certain matches of today. And I think that's one of like, if there's anything that has continued strong in Stardom's history, it is the tag team title defenses. Like I think certain styles of certain belts have changed. The Goddess belts have always had their identity, which I think is incredible. When they're at their best, I don't know if there's anything that really touches it, truthfully. And that is this match. That is the other match that I was talking about. This is Jungle and Haroyo overcoming, like I said, and Haroyo makes like a number of saves where she just kind of like comes in like this absolute monster, and it's
and
like
she is amongst she her, is
she is like she was incredible in this match. Like she was just power up, and I just was like, I know exactly what happens in this match, but I am getting amped. Like I'm getting so excited for this. And I was like, she really will go down as one of the more underappreciated Joshi of her time. She has an argument for probably the most underappreciated, truthfully, just because of all the things she can do. And she's still going good well today. That's the crazy part. Like she's not one of the, you know, Joshi that she's broken down much or anything. No, you put her in a big match, she often delivers. And yeah, this match, like you said, just a sensational final sequence that's so long that it's a credit to keeping them going. Because when you have final sequences in matches, you want to get to that result quicker than not, just because the crowd gets so hot. And you know, there's matches where it feels like we're in that final sequence, and then you kind of slow it down and has a upsetting, abrupt finish. And that's just wrestling. Mm. But this was so good. This was so good on second watch. It'll probably be great on third watch again. It would be the second highest rated match I'd have from this this catalog of matches that we're watching today. I just think it's Jungle's number one match on Cage Match, and I totally understand why.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, like, if you were following Stardom at the time, there was just such a buzz following this match, with people just kind of talking about it. And whenever there was discussions of 2017 match of the year, you'd always see someone just kind of try and put it in and remind people, hey, don't forget about this match. It was that good. I think it was one of those matches that people would get drawn into Stardom. If you've never seen the Stardom product, it's the perfect combination of hard-hitting action, easy-to-follow storytelling within the ring, and the benefit of the crowd sort of getting behind it as well. And I can't finish this section talking about this match without mentioning the post-match stuff. Like, all these Nagoya matches, there's like an extra 2 minutes added on at the beginning before the match starts, because they're doing the flower ceremony and stuff for Jungle coming back home. But at the end of it, obviously Jungle is absolutely emotional, tears flooding down her face and stuff. And Hiroyu Matsumoto speaks, and then Jungle gets the mic again, and she's just kind of looking off in the corner, and she sees her dad in the crowd. Now, for those of you who were listening last fortnight would know that, you know, she came from a divorced family. She kind of ran away from home a bit. And seeing that connection, at the time, I thought, oh, that's a sweet moment, you know, Jungle and her dad, you know, sharing that connection in the ring. But knowing now, sort of rewatching, knowing Jungle's story there, it just means all the bit more, because sometimes when you get away from your family like that, you run away, you lose the contact. You don't have that same connection. You know, divorced family, it's very difficult. It's very messy, but they're able to share that little touching moment at home. Jungle following her dreams and achieving her dreams.
I have literally nothing to add. You should probably just go to the next match. It was very well ended there. And I was like, well, I got to speak now. There you go. But yeah, no, that was perfectly said. I think anyone can connect with Jungle very easily. And that is another reason why, right? That story and how it unfolds and what you see there. It's just incredible what, she was able to do in ultimately what wasn't a long period.
No, it's what, 5-6 years basically, and we're still in year two here. We're pretty much at a year and a half at this point, and she's connecting with the crowd that much. You know, she's a very emotional wrestler. She wears her heart on her sleeve, but I think that really helps her connect to the audience, especially in Nagoya, obviously, but it extends beyond that. But for the third match, we go nearly 2 years to the day. It's March 3rd, 2019. At this stage, she is the leader of the Jungle Assault Nation, JAN, and she's challenging for the Wonder of Stardom belt once again in Nagoya, challenging against Momo Watanabe, who at this point is 18 and at this point is on the verge of breaking the Wonder of Stardom championship record.
I'm going to just take a detour here from Jungle Kiyono. Momo Watanabe.
Give her flowers.
Momo Watanabe, at the age of 18, reached a peak and a high that so many wrestlers could ever dream of. She was so in control and so good and such a dick that it was the perfect fold for Jungle Kiyono in what is highly regarded as her best match ever. Right? It is the perfect combination of unbeatable Wonder Stardom champion versus, you know, one of the best challengers possible towards the end, towards the record possibly being broken in Nagoya. It's a perfect storm. Like, 2018 and 2019 Momo Watanabe is just unbelievable to go back and see. And the crazy thing is, I know she still has like this in her plus improvement, right? And all I was left hoping for is like, I just get something like this of Momo again someday, because she's been so good for so long, just in ring wise. And this match, while she has some great matches in her history, so this isn't her greatest match, her performance in this is what I think ultimately puts Jungle's list with this at number one, because Jungle was so good in this match, but you need the person that is, you know, swinging from top, that's just trying to keep you down and push you down to make this great. And ultimately it builds to one of the best, you know, closing minutes of any Wonder Stardom title. Like, it's one of the highly regarded Wonder Stardom title matches. Don't get me wrong, I've seen better Wonder Stardom title matches. Thank you, Saya Kamatani, for a lot. But this really is like, this is Stardom in 2019, just absolutely at the top of its game. And you could feel that from the opening bell to the very end.
If you have come into Stardom in the last couple of years, and look, we say this a lot because it's kind of the point of the podcast. If you've come in the past couple of years, you need to go back and watch stuff. But if you have only come into Stardom past couple of years and you haven't seen Wonder of Stardom Momo Watanabe, either go back and watch it or wait until we do the white belt run that she has and we cover it on this episode properly, and then go back and watch it, because you can't appreciate how good she is now without seeing how good she was at 18. People are still shocked when you say Momo Watanabe is 23 in 2023.
Yeah.
It surprises them. Go back 5 years and she's doing stuff to this level. And it's also the reason why she has such a strong contingent of fans, especially amongst the Western circles, even though maybe they're not as in love with her Oedo Tai run, because they watched this. They saw an 18-year-old freshly graduated from high school be given the reins from Io Shirai, of all people, and said, this is your company now. What can you do? And she proceeds to put on a performance like this.
I can't wait to do a series on her run as champion. Yeah. But to the match itself, it felt like it was going to be a blowout. And I think that's like what made this so good. So like, to compare it to sports, it felt like it was going to be a blowout early. Like, Momo was running up the score. She was making Jungle look like she didn't belong, almost just absolutely destroying this woman. She almost was bullying her in many ways. And then we get to the point on the outside where Jungle catches her for the nasty apron powerbomb, and the match changed from there.
And that was two replays. That's how big it was.
Oh, yeah. And how Momo was able to work with that back. Like, it comes down to it in the end. And I think that's like, we talk so many times about how like people can forget their injuries in matches. This was one of those times where I think we would have like moved on, you know, like it wouldn't have bothered me if like, you hurt your back. Like, everyone hurts their back in every wrestling match ever. Congratulations. But she sells it, and it makes for the ending being better. And from that power bomb, Jungle really gets on the attack, and it's starting to give you hope that she might be able to take this. She might be able to win this. And of course, you know, the crowd's going crazy for it. And the final 5 minutes or so of this match are just incredible. This match is like, it would fit right in current Stardom. It really would. Like, if you put it in one of the bigger stages, like if you put this in Sumo Hall, even, I don't think anyone would bat an eye. I think everyone would like, yep, like this is deserving, and that crowd losing their minds. But it's not in Nagoya, so it can't be in Sumo Hall. But you get my point. I just think like these two were perfect for each other in a way at this time. And man, I wish we could see them go at it again, because I just think they worked so well and benefited so well off of one another, especially where their characters were at this time.
That's essential because they intersect at the perfect point. This is Momo Watanabe. She's proven herself. Any early sort of jitters are gone now. She's, you know, on the verge of breaking the record. That's how good she is. At 18, she has a right to be cocky and believe she's the best. And by comparison, Jungle Kiona at this point, she's been leading Team Jungle. They had Jungle Assault Nation. They had some early success, but the struggles and the difficulties of leading a weak faction are starting to pile up, and the initial honeymoon period is gone. And they're basically struggling just to keep up and keep fighting with the other groups in Stardom. So here we are, a Jungle Kiona who's battered and bruised a bit and just trying to give her faction something to stand behind and believe in, versus a Momo Watanabe leading a Queen's Quest that couldn't be hotter at this point. It's the perfect intersection placed in a Nagoya crowd. They all buy in. And if you want to understand how good this match is, in 2019, Dave Meltzer rated this 4.5 stars. Now, in 2023, Dave Meltzer giving Stardom a good rating. Not that unusual. Like, he watches the big shows, he'll rate them, he'll talk about them. But at this point, he'd been to Stardom shows when he went over for Wrestle Kingdom, but he didn't talk about them a lot. They didn't get a lot of focus. They didn't get a lot of rating. But he gave the time and he gave the attention, gave them 4.5. And I actually have the details from the Observer from sort of talking about this, which I'll just read through it. What was that?
Good homework. I, by the way, if anyone cares, gave it 4.5 stars. So that's updated 4.5.
You're locked in with the Melts.
Yeah. I mean, he gives a little bit more lofty stars than I do for certain things. I don't go above 5, but I think it's very deserving of such a rating, not only to get rated, but the rating he gives. It's very common now. I think did Julian Azumi get 4.5 just now? They might have just recently got it. 4.5 or 4.25.
The ratings for that.
I just know, like, he obviously gives a lot more now, so it's like not as fun or like exciting. But it's a credit to what this match was.
He does it enough now that we complain about the ratings he gives as opposed to being thankful that he's rating them.
Well, there's nothing better than when he goes, yeah, it was a 5-star match, 4.75. Oh, okay. Sounds good, Dave.
I'm still a little bitter he gave the Mayu EO match 4.75 stars. That was a 5-star match to me, but I digress. What he said in the Observer newsletter, and I quote, they ran Nagoya on 3rd of March before 675 fans, with Momo Watanabe beating Jungle Kiona in 21-23 in her record-setting 11th defense of her Wonder of Stardom Championship. This match was really the talk of the past several days, as much as a small promotion match it's going to be. I'd go 4.5 stars easily, and Watanabe's individual performance was out of this world. And the scary part is she set this record and she's only 18 years old. It's a scary thought that when one of the best women wrestlers in the world was born in the year 2000. Now, obviously, the year 2000 is losing a little bit of meaning here in 2023.
He's changed that, though. His new favorite wrestler that I think he freaks out about. This is completely off the topic of Jungle Kiona now.
Tangent time.
Actually, you know what? I'm not going to say it just in case it doesn't happen. I'll talk to Trent about it after. But he really does. He gives a lot of credit to these younger wrestlers from Stardom from then to now. He has said on the Observer that there is no better younger pool in pro wrestling than what Stardom has, and I think we can all obviously attest to that. But what he's willing to say here, obviously, about Momo, which I think is a fantastic championship performance, but it doesn't get there without Jungle being who she was in that setting, right? And her coming so close to winning, but at this time it was just like there's no one that can stop Momo. Like you can't stop her, and it's so different from what Saya did, because I don't think I ever felt like that with Saya. Like, Saya had this great run as champion, but she never felt like unbeatable, if that makes sense.
Her whole story was overcoming her own demons and her own insecurities, and she doesn't overcome them until the end of her run. You know, like it's at its peak during the Kairi situation. The first time they were trying to set it up, and the second time it did actually happen, which is past halfway through her championship run. And then obviously it rears back up after the Mina Shirakawa injury and kind of is looming over her right until the moment she loses the title.
Yeah.
Whereas Momo here, like, she goes through any insecurities she might have had and basically kicks those insecurities in the face while she's kicking everyone else in the face. Yeah. And by the time at this point in her reign, there's no insecurities, there's no questions. She is the unstoppable force at 18. And it's up for everyone else to catch up or be humiliated by a girl who's fresh out of high school and probably still fits in her schoolgirl outfit.
There will never be another run like what Momo had. Like, the Stardom is in such a different place now that it will never happen.
They're not running the kids like they used to. You know, the Azumis, the Starlight Kids, the Momo Watanabes, they're not looking for that crew anymore. Hina, Rina, they're basically granddaughtered in.
Yeah.
You know, they were already there, so they're not going to kick them out. Like, but you're not going to get that age.
The closest you're going to get is what we're watching with Suzu now.
Yeah.
Truthfully. That's the closest you're going to get to the
And she's 3 years older than Momo at this stage, which is crazy to think about because we're going crazy over what Suzu's doing and what Azumi's doing and what Starlight Kid's doing. But they're old compared to this Momo Watanabe.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, this match, it's a must-see.
Yes.
Even just for this Stardom overall. This is
the best Jungle Kiana match. I think the only reason it doesn't win match of 2019 for Stardom is because of the Arisa Tam Nakano match, which hit many of the same marks, but it had a bit more of the emotional interpersonal edge. And I think that was such a revelation for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But this match is right up there with that. Yeah,
and Arisa better.
you can make an argument really either way. It just depends on what you're looking for in your storytelling. But this is Jungle Kiana at her peak, and she's facing the perfect kind of opponent. You know, she's going up against someone who is faster, better, more confident, and she's working through everything in just trying to get to that point. She's got both got the Nagoya crowd around their fingers. And when she hits that Jungle Buster, even watching it after probably like the fifth time I've seen this match now, there's still a part of me that wants to believe.
The 2019 might be the best year for Wonder Stardom title matches. Because obviously you have this one. You have Momo Arisa is not as good as like these, but it's still like a great match, obviously. Then you have the Arisa reign, which involves Tam, Hazuki, Jungle,
Konami,
Kagetsu throughout the rest of that year. It's one of the better ones. I think Saya might have helped to top that, truthfully, just because of what she did in 2022. But man, like, it really starts with not this one. There's one right before that I'm stupidly forgetting. Was it who I think it was? Yeah, not Mayu. Even the Tam one at the 8th anniversary is really solid. And that was, of course, like before Tam was who she is now, obviously, as like this, super over the top, popular main event star. Even back then, she was the underdog. And that was proving her against
Elf.
Yeah, which works against Momo, especially back then. But yeah, Jungle Kiana, go out of your way to see this. This is her best career match. I would totally agree. I think you can't replicate something like this.
As you mentioned earlier, it's a perfect storm of circumstances, and they were able to capitalize on it.
Really,
but that's not the last time her and Momo would fight in matches that we're talking about today. The final match in our list of two watch jungle matches is from the 15th of July, 2019. Jungle Kiana and Konami, now both a part of Tokyo Cyber Squad, facing off against the Goddess of Stardom champions Utami Hashishita and Momo Watanabe. This match also takes place in Nagoya, and this is kind of the culmination of a lot of different things. The most important thing here is the burgeoning feud between Utami and Jungle Kiana. Obviously, they fought to multiple draws. And I believe just after this match in the five-star Grand Prix, Utami will get the win back against Jungle in one-on-one action. But for Jungle, who is constantly trying to basically prove she's still as good as Utami, who has come in, debut, draw, next match, draw, base, and then wins the tag titles from her and says, "You're my stepping stone." This is Jungle's chance to basically prove, the stone's a bit high for you just yet.
I think this match is like very simple in the right ways. This match is a lot like the recent Aphrodite and Divine Kingdom match, actually, in that it doesn't overcomplicate itself. It tells the story that it needs to tell, and it gets the champions that it needs to at the end. I think when it comes to Konami and Jungle together, they were so perfect as a unit, right? Like the group that's not supposed to be perfect, which is Tokyo Cyber Squad, ended up being as perfect as any group could be. And these two were, so important to making that work. Obviously, Hana was Hana, and that goes without saying. But putting these two together and kind of playing through them, begrudgingly joining, and then becoming tag team champions and one of the most loved tag teams at that time, really speaks to how good they were. Konami is at her best, I still think, during this run. I think her 2019 year is her best run, and I think her Tokyo Cyber Squad work is great here. Her and Momo were awesome in this match together, and then you have, of course, Utami and Jungle pairing off, and these two are so... They have the history, right? We talked about the big rookie match, and you just talked about how, they went into the five-star and made up for it. But they have the history to work off of that, this isn't going to be easy for either of them. Like, Jungle's almost, again, the underdog, despite fighting this rookie who has just become this dominant force in Stardom. And I think it's so fitting that even against a rookie, Jungle can be the underdog that's overcoming and making you believe that, because it's really hard to, I think it's really hard with any rookie to make you look at like a vet like Jungle and think, oh, they're an underdog.
Yeah.
This worked. This worked really well. It's not the greatest tag team match you're going to ever see. It's not, it's not the best tag team match in Stardom's history, but you know what it is? It's a really, really good tag team match that has four wrestlers who are kind of just, they're absolutely flying above expectations at this point, I think. I mean, Momo's obviously coming off the Wonder Reign, but even so, her tag work was great. Utami, as a rookie, is so above her level of experience. Like, she's still doing basic moves at this stage. She's not overcomplicating things. And then, of course, you have Jungle and Konami, who just became so popular to the point that it was undeniable you had to give them these belts.
Yeah, this is the best pairing for Jungle Kiona, because I think it highlights everything that needed to happen, because for the past couple of years, she had been fighting as the leader of a Jungle Assault Nation and didn't have a true equal to sort of stand next to.
Sure.
And joining Tokyo Cyber Squad, obviously Hana was the leader, but she lined up with Konami and finally had someone that she could pair with that would match her. Now, it wasn't like with Hiroyu Matsumoto, was kind of the senpai, kohai kind of situation.
Right.
These are two people on their equals who maybe have one or two flaws in the world of wrestling. Yeah. Konami, I think, really benefited from having someone like Jungle Kiona to play off of from a personality standpoint. She can be a little quiet, a little stoic. She's got a, not that, you see a lot of it, but you get this impression she's got a bit of a dry sense of humor. You need someone like a Jungle Kiona to kind of bounce off of with that. And Jungle's exuberance kind of feeds into Konami's style really well. And likewise, Jungle Kiona has someone who finally has her back and can watch her, can look after her. And together they make this really fun tag team to watch. They do some gnarly stuff together. The drop kick power bomb combination is a scary thing. They've got some really good tag team moves. But it's just a tag team that kind of makes sense, because it almost looks thrown together, but they make it work in spite of that. And here they are up against a really strong tag team. Momo and Utami had won these titles not quite a year ago, but it's sort of, probably, I think it's like an 8-9 month reign at this point. they'd beat Jungle for it, Jungle and Natsukatora. And here they are, they're fine-tuned. You know, Utami was pushing Jungle Kyona to draws in her first month, and now we've got Utami, you know, getting towards that one-year mark, and she's got a little bit more confidence, a little bit more to her style. She's got that confidence, and standing next to someone like Momo Watanabe, it'd be hard not to feed off of that kind of ego. And again, they have the Nagoya crowd just feeding everything, going at a fever pitch. Another example of how important the crowd is in building this. And yes, this isn't an overly complicated match, but what it's doing, it sets out to do, it nows on all functions, and the personalities and the character styles and the wrestling styles all mesh really well here to just create, at the end of the day, a really fun match, an easy to watch match with a very satisfying conclusion.
100%. I think it's kind of a satisfying conclusion for this episode in many ways. Jungle winning. How about that? How about that? I noticed that, you know, he picked two matches that she won. I mean, they happen to both be tag matches, so of course she won.
Yeah, and you were feeding the, you know, it's important to focus on Jungle, not just a singles wrestler, but as a tag team wrestler, because I think she goes down as one of the best tag team wrestlers Stardom has had.
Absolutely.
I think she's a great singles wrestler, but at the end of the day, it's the tag work and what she does there that I think really stands out in the long run. And it's important to highlight that. Out
in singles, to be fair, there's a lot of singles wrestlers.
There is, especially as someone who doesn't reach the top of the mountaintop. Mm-hmm. If you don't win one of the top titles, yeah, you're as great as she is as a singles wrestler, and her versatility in being able to lift up rookies and go toe to toe with main eventers. When you're looking at the legacy of a Jungle Kyona, the tag work is just as important as the singles work. And that's why we wanted to highlight a mixture here, because there's a ton of other singles matches we could have picked, whether it's the final big singles match against Mayu Iwatani in 2020, or the match against Kagetsu earlier in 2019, her white belt match against Arisa Hoshiki is top tier as well. There's a lot of these matches there, or any of the five-star Grand Prix matches she has. But looking at these tag matches, and you get the evolution, 2017 singles Kyona, 2019 singles Kyona, and then 2017 tag Kyona, 2019 tag Kyona.
Yeah, I think we perfectly clicked on every match here. You get two experiences from her early on, two experiences from her in her peak.
Yes.
And that way, I think you can get a good appreciation of who Jungle was as a wrestler, as a competitor, and and overall why people loved her so much. Because I think a lot of fans that come in, and I said this, I think, on the first episode, like the whole point of this was to kind of give you an idea of why so many fans are invested in Jungle Kyona and who she is and what she is and what she's been. And there's no better way to do that than just watch the matches and feel what those crowds are feeling for her. Hopefully our commentary here kind of gave you a good insight into that as well. Give you some of the background information, the dominance of, you know, a Watanabe, or the importance of the Kairi match. The reason her tag teams were so good and why she was such a good tag team wrestler. Hopefully we gave you a little bit of everything from start to finish here.
Yeah, hopefully, like, obviously, you know, anyone who's been listening to this podcast from the beginning, or any of the other podcasts that we do especially, will know how big a deal Jungle Kyona is to my personal fandom. And, you know, if you've only just come in or only seen her from the past year, it might be a little confusing. Oh, what is it about Jungle that Trent likes so much? And, you know, hopefully watching these matches and listening to the first episode we did a fortnight ago, you can kind of understand just how perfect an underdog babyface she truly was. Not only, like, her style of wrestling is right up my alley, that bruiser style, the hard-hitting, you know, strength-based wrestling, but even beyond that is just the character work, and the vibe of a Jungle just resonates with me so perfectly. And going back and watching these matches, and you're, you know, literally following her, you know, progression in the career, it just makes me appreciate how good she was at that all over again.
You think you'd be on Micah's side more. but no more Jungle Kiona shows. We're done. This was it. Everyone got their Jungle Kiona show. Congratulations. Trent won this time. He won the battle, but not the war. No, I'm just kidding. Hopefully,
I'll find ways to squeeze her in, don't you
worry. Oh, I mean, there's so many ways. There's factions, there's tag title. Oh, wait a minute. this is not tag title reigns. I'm just tag titles, yes. Overall titles, no. But even so, like, I think when it comes to Jungle Kiona, I did pretty good not making a joke until the very end of this. I think, over two episodes,
a month's worth of restraint. It is very impressive.
I know. I had literally some people ask me, like, how'd you do it? And I was like,
just wait till we end recording.
I literally said, there's other episodes of anything I've ever done with Trent that you can hear my comments about Jungle Kiona. I don't think I need, I think this is in all seriousness. I'm happy we did this now. I think it's a good way to end 2023, end it strong. Mm. Maybe next year we can end with someone that did become world champion. but overall, thanks for leading this, Trent. I had a great time going back and watching the matches. I think that's always my favorite part of these. And, once I can get myself to do them.
It is funny, though, because it is one of those things, like, with so much wrestling going on in the world, yeah, it can be difficult to say, I'm setting aside a time to watch stuff from years ago. Yeah, whether it's doing these kind of shows or writing, feature-length articles on, past stuff, it can be a little bit of a push. But as soon as you get into it, it's like, I remember why we picked these matches. I remember why they're so beloved. And it becomes so much easier. It's just hitting play is the hardest part sometimes.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. But once you do, and like, you get into it, and it's a lot better when they're on Stardom World. That helps. That made a lot more. That was a lot more helpful this time around.
Yeah. Hopefully, when you're listening to this, if say next year or the year after, Stardom World has been upgraded, the servers have changed. Yeah, we say these are on Stardom World. Hopefully, they still are, because it is a shame when media kind of gets lost in these kind of situations. Yeah. But, who knows? Maybe some of the stuff we've had to encourage you to find elsewhere has found their way back as well.
That'd be cool. That'd be cool. But with that, I'll start to wrap up our show here. Thank you for listening. Hopefully you have become a Jungle Kiona fan today.
I have.
You have? I like her more now, I think, after these two episodes, which might have been Trent's evil plan. but I still got my remarks in. So
that's why we're actually doing a 7-parter on her to start 2024. I'm going to slowly break him down.
before we get into what's next for the Stardom Road podcast.
Jungle Kiona Part 3.
Nope, this is it. Of course, reminder, I said at the top of the show, this is our last episode of the year. We'll be back on January 2nd with a special episode, which I'm about to go over. But before that, it is the end of the year. So, Trent, hit us with the plugs. What do you have going on? I know there's stuff.
So you can find me on Twitter and X at 1UpCulture. We're taking Christmas off because, it's Christmas. That's why we're totally
not, because the idea we had for the next episode worked a lot better than, it just worked out if we dropped it the first week. Yeah. And instead we just rather skip one. So
you're breaking kayfabe on me, Scott.
It happens. I break kayfabe once in a while.
But as far as what I'm doing, obviously you can listen to Scott, myself, and Ryan Dilbert, the mature one of the three of us, at the Ocean Cyclone Show, which is a wrestling podcast. I have some end-of-year pieces in the works. Every year I like to do a Stardom Year in Review, which drops the first week of January. I'm also wanting to put together basically a what the hell is going on in Japan at the end of the year, start of the year, for people who don't follow Japanese wrestling religiously and see there's like 17 big shows going on. So basically talking about this promotion's running a big show on this date. Here are a couple of key matches. So if you want to navigate the new year in Japan wrestling-wise, you've got something to work with. There might be other stuff coming too. These days, pretty much if I write something, it kind of comes out of nowhere, but that's what's going on in the world of Trent.
Yeah, I don't write anything either, so it's okay. You can follow me at Scott E Wrestling on Twitter/X, whichever you prefer to call it. It is the year end, so that means I'm getting stuff together. I'll get my top 25 matches of the year list out, the top 10 wrestlers of the year list. I'll probably just put those on Substack again or something, or just post a literal like screenshot and put a tweet it and call it a day. But what I am doing that I want everyone to take part in is that for the Five Star Joshi Show, my Joshi podcast, which will be going live the same day as Stardom Dream of Queendom 2023 for a live review, if that interests you in any way, shape, or form. It should, because it's always fun. Have a lot of guests on.
It won't interest me because I'll be asleep.
Yeah, he'll be lights out. No Trent, sadly, on that show. I'll probably get Trent on something else we'll go over. Actually, your best guess is probably Ocean Cyclone. We'll talk about that show and everything.
We've got a year-end review for Ocean Cyclone coming up.
Yeah, so for the Five-Star Joshi Show, I don't know if there's other awards out there for Joshi, but I'm going to act like they're not for a second. I have the 2023 Joshi Awards voting coming out soon. I will be dropping the official ballots on December 31st. I'll be announcing some nominees over the coming weeks. Of course, got to kind of wait until the 29th is complete to put everything together. So Match of the Year will be the last thing revealed and so on and so forth, just in case. I'm not saying any match will be on the Match of the Year ballot there, but you know.
We learned from last year. Last year,
the Match of the Year was on there. But here are the categories you'll get to vote for on there. And last year was, it was the first year, so I kind of gave everyone a chance to just enter who they believed should win it. This year, we're going to have specific options for each award, and that's how we'll vote. So the awards are as follows. We have Rookie of the Year, which is an exciting award. We have plenty of rookies in the world of pro wrestling, whether it be Stardom, TJPW, or the independent scene. There's a lot to pick from, so I'm looking forward to that. That'll be one of the more broader ones. I'm going to put pretty much every rookie in there rather than limit it on certain ones. I think that's something specifically that I'm going to do. Breakout Star. Last year, Suzuki won Breakout Star of the Year. And I think that turned out to work out pretty well. I think she continued to break out. We'll have Show of the Year, which should be a lot of fun. All-Star Grand Queendom, obviously a favorite in that conversation early on. We will have the Joshi Indies MVP. I've already had messages. Why is this even a category? they're like, are you
it's
just
a re-invitational?
Yeah, they're like, are you just gonna put one person? I was like, well, I'm gonna put multiple people, and then you can all just vote for her. TJPW MVP, Stardom MVP, Joshi Indie Promotion of the Year, Feud of the Year, Story of the Year, Tag Team of the Year, Match of the Year, and Joshi Wrestler of the Year. So make sure to keep an eye out for that. I will be releasing the ballot, and I will be posting it in all the Discords and anything that I'm in. So if you're in there, feel free to vote. This isn't just to Joshi podcast people, or, this is for everyone to vote on.
Mind you, if you're listening to this over an hour in, you're probably a Joshi podcast guy or gal.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. I want everyone that's a fan of Joshi to vote. Sometimes, and I think everything's pretty open this year, which is why I'm so excited for it. There seems to be some excitement in voting. So looking forward to that. But let's get to the next episode, shall we? The next episode on the Stardom Road will be a 2023 look back in many ways. It's our first chance to kind of do a present day conversation in full. Of course, we did the Himeka retirement and look over her career, but this is completely about the current product. So me and Trent will be doing a tier list. Everyone loves the tier list. And we will be putting every wrestler into their own tier on how they did in 2023. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it because, again, a very weird year for Stardom. I think some people might be shocked by who goes where. And that video will be uploaded on the Countout Podcast Network YouTube channel as well. So you can watch us put, you know, put each wrestler in the tiers, because sometimes visually it's better than listening. It's something new to try. It's something fun that we plan to hopefully do every single year moving forward. It'll kind of be our way to kick off the year, because it's our best way to look back at the year prior, in a unique way that you and me don't do on other podcasts.
Yeah, because so many of our podcasts like this is more evergreen content. But, you know, I brought the idea to Scott a little while back, and I wasn't sure where we were going to do it, because this is typically a historical podcast. But Scott made a really good point. Is something like this, like if this podcast goes for 5 or 6 years, you know, having kind of like a record of what happened in 2023 with these wrestlers. So in 2027, when we're referencing something, you can go back and either watch the video or listen to the podcast and see what their year specifically was. So it still fits the historical standpoint. It's just slightly different in how we go about it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. It's the first time for Stardom Road we've been doing with video. As Scott mentioned, this will still be a podcast. So if you like to just listen rather than watch, if you're, you know, on a bike or driving your car, that's how you normally listen to Stardom Road, you can still do that. But we felt like for something like this, for those of you who might want to watch it, chuck it up on YouTube, you can. We'll make sure to mention where people are periodically through the episode, but it's fun seeing where they get placed and having just that visual cue. So
yeah, it'll be every Stardom roster member plus Nanai.
And Mirai is in there as well.
Oh well, yeah,
and Megan Bain. So
she hasn't wrestled basically AEW yet. So, like, to me, she's still a Stardom wrestler until she does.
It's basically all of the permanent roster members, and we're also including Himeka in this because she was a permanent roster member until she retired, and just a couple of the key regular freelancers. So someone like Risa Sarah isn't in the list because although she made a few appearances, she wasn't a consistent part and she didn't play
last year. She would have had a better claim for that.
But Nanai Takahashi, she's been so integral to Stardom in 2023. We wanted to make sure she was in there. So there's 40 wrestlers. It's going to be interesting to see how long the podcast goes for. We'll probably have to
meet Trent agree too, which might be half the entertainment.
So hopefully you guys have a kick of that. You can tell us that we're wrong with some of our lists, but it's our list, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Follow along. It is also the list is public on the Tier Maker website, so you can make your own list and share it with us. Which
I'll share that when the episode comes out.
Yes.
We want you to listen to the episode first. but thank you, everyone, for listening. For Trent, I'm Scott. And until next time in the new year, be safe. Have a happy holidays. Enjoy Stardom Dream Queendom. Enjoy any other wrestling you may be watching. And until the second, see ya.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Have you guys heard of the new show on the Countout Network, the Ichiban Sweetcast?
It's the brand new Japan Pro Wrestling podcast starring the International Wrestling Grand Prix. That's me, your good friend Curtis Spears.
And me, your bad friend Rafe Hewson. And we're here to talk about everything New Japan Pro Wrestling, reacting to everything, getting worked up, getting very happy, sometimes crying, kind of like something else we used to do, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the old Okada Shorts podcast, right?
Ah, that's right. And if you love that show, you're going to love this show because it's exactly the same show.
Yeah, we just had to change the name.
Yeah, we did. But you can check it everywhere on a social media handle that we haven't made yet.
Yeah, we're really new to this. So what you can do is search on your favorite podcast catcher of choice. Look for the Ichiban Sweetcast.
Sweetcast, Ichiban.